And we are back. Sorry about that for those listening live. I don't know. We're having issues with the broadcaster. That was the Bagdaddios on the break. I know it crapped out for some of the people listening live, but...
That's okay. The Bagdaddios used to occasionally crap out in the middle of the set anyway.
That's a terrible thing to say.
It was true. I sat there.
Your husband's band and... Was his band and
his former band? I can say what I like now.
Oh, sure. You're free to be disrespectful.
Yes, free to be you, me, and disrespectful.
But I think we're back now.
I hope we're back.
Hopefully.
Oh, God, I don't know what's been going on lately with this, but you know,
I don't know. Tom said that he thought it was being. I said it was being finicky. He said he thought it was being merciful. I guess to the audience.
Like everybody's listening at gunpoint. That's exactly what's going on.
Tom says we're back. It's working.
Tom says they've reloaded and we must listen some more.
Yeah, it's like, I can't take the punishment. Oh,
you know
wait,
what
are they going to say now?
I've changed my opinion based on this. I do believe guns should be more accessible to the people.
Wait a minute.
I stand corrected.
There wait a minute. Go. Who are we talking about?
The people that are enforcing people standing behind them with a gun to the back, and they go, if you don't listen, somebody's going to get it.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way we have an audience.
Fans
didn't
are like
you know?
ISIS hostages just sitting.
I don't think we have any Yazidis in the audience. Yeah. Do we have any? What is it, Yazidis or Yazikis?
What are we talking about?
Or is it Tzatzikis?
Tzatziki.
I don't know what Japanese motorcycles have to do with
that. No, these are Middle Eastern things, too, right. But that's Yamaha.
That's what you wear on your
tzatziki,
head.
Tzatziki, I love their sauce.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Wow. Now this is what happens when we don't have our musical back. I'm just like looking at this. I'm like, some stations are gone, some aren't. I don't know what the hell's going on with this thing.
I don't know. And Tom is yelling, Allahu Akbar, in the chat room. I don't know what's
going
on.
Well, you know, Tom, the FBI does monitor the chat. So
great.
Good thing for Tom is he's mobile, but they'll find you, Tom.
They'll track you down.
Get off the main interstate, stupid.
Turn off your GPS.
You'll be waking up comfortably to gunpoint.
Not our fault. He's the one who put that in there.
That's right.
And if they ask, I'm going to say, I saw it coming all along.
Oh, great.
What, you wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't.
Tom, we love Tom. What are you hanging him out to drive for?
Well, if he's a terrorist going Allah Akbar in there.
I don't know nothing. Yeah.
Maybe Tom doesn't want to learn the language of the chat. He doesn't want to assimilate.
You know what? And you're the guys who met him in person, so you should be the one saying that he was not wearing a towel on his head.
No, he was not.
Well, he's trying to assimilate at that moment, but he's been radicalized since. He's been watching things on YouTube.
We can't stay in Michigan forever.
Full American chugs hot sauce. Case closed.
He didn't want to.
No, I know. I didn't say that he wanted to, but he did it.
A real American would want to chug hot sauce.
That's right.
And Joe's America.
And Joe's America if he loses at the Fat Horse Challenge.
All right, let's find some shit and hope it doesn't go wrong.
That's the object of the show. What's your show plan?
Hope it doesn't go wrong.
No, you know what the problem is what the hell's going on here?
You're looking at us?
No, what the problem is, I should check if we're still on before that. Yeah, there we are. What the problem is iTunes, I think, is screwing up Sam, our broadcaster.
Oh.
Which really makes a problem because I had to go to iTunes because Windows Media Player is screwing up Sam's broadcaster. Sam is like a bitch that's had enough. You know, Sam dated Windows Media Player for a while and they got along fine. Then Sam goes, you know what? I'm sick of your shit. So Sam moved on.
It's like a big black sassy woman. I ain't going to play none of your iTunes. Get on away from me now. I had enough of this here.
See, what you're saying is Sam is saying, I can't breathe.
No. God.
That's what Sam is saying to iTunes now. I can't breathe.
Well, Sam should stop chokeholding him.
All right, let's try this again. We're going to do some scam.
Tom says, all right, on with the show before the feds show up.
Too late, they're on their way. You might want to leave the pilot quickly. And I don't mean the guy driving the plane.
That Bo Peep diaper truck that's outside the ring, not necessarily one.
Bo Peep diaper truck from the man who shits in his pants, yes, by curtains, Joe Curry.
Actually, you know, that's a good way to get a sponsor.
Why isn't this playing?
We're going to sponsor.
I don't think this is. I think iTunes is really cracked out.
Right. You know, speaking.
Did we do something different this week?
Yeah, we tried to do a show. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
No, it's because you keep talking about pooping in your pants. The iTunes shit the bed.
Mm. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to close iTunes. Hope for the best here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. iTunes is really.
By the way, Lisa says there were no wet towels in the truck stop.
All right, yeah, I want to quit iTunes.
I quit.
You guys are bad.
I'm going to try to open up iTunes again.
Okay.
Yeah, we were having
Isn't that girlfriend Ipanema?
That's the one.
Yeah.
We're having technical difficulties. Please stand
You know what, Joe? Tell me this. Have you ever listened to Boston's More Than a Feeling?
They didn't say it in that sort of way.
And we're back.
Sound go bye-bye again.
No, I apologize. There's nothing
Sound go bye-bye again.
What a horse shit. You know how much this is going to be a pain in the ass to edit afterwards. I got to sit with all this bullshit and piece it together. I guess we shouldn't even talk about this so the people who can't make appointment and listen here who will just have this delivered whenever they want so they wouldn't know about this. But so, this sucks. Donkey.
No. If our loyal fans who come and listen to us live every week have to suffer through this bullshit, so do the playback people.
That's right.
Why Screw you.
All right. Let's keep your fingers there crossed.
All right.
Animal songs. We don't want animal songs.
In my eyeballs.
I got to talk to Diva Donnie. Is he still around?
He's not in anymore.
That's a shame. I could use
he checked out. All right. He foresaw this.
There we go. Now we're still in the air?
Yeah.
Let's see how long this lasts. Because we're going to have the,
If there's something strange on your Facebook page, who are you going to call? Scam Busters! If it's something weird and she looks real good, who are you going to call? Scam Busters!
Wait, no, you're stupid.
I ain't afraid of no scams. I ain't afraid of no scams.
All right, let's do our interview, shall we? I don't have audio, so you guys can tell me.
Music's still playing.
I know that.
But we didn't know you knew that.
Music's not playing now. Hopefully, we're still on the air.
Yeah, you said you have to tell us. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. All right, let's see. So this is part three of our interview with
Tracy
Douglas, who is a scam victim, now a scam advocate. Where we last left off, Tracy realized that the man she was talking to was not the soldier he was portraying,
right?
But was in fact a scammer because he had asked for money to feed the troops and right. everything. And Tracy, for Tracy, that was one lie too far. And then the light bulb clicked, and she knew. This was not what she had her heart set on.
She was like, there's no way.
Right. There's no way. Okay. Good.
Sorry. You know what? I am like a cat that just got his balls cut off. I'm like, stink bug, look. I'm so easily distracted.
Part three of our interview.
Where it all changed was pretty much close to after I'd sent everything that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Was he told me that they were on a mission. He had a satellite phone. He said that we're in an environment where we run out of food. No one can get us food. We need more cash so I can purchase food for my troops. And I just went, hang on a sec, buddy. I've been in the military. Not that I've been in the military for a long time, but I'm not that stupid.
Right.
U.S. soldiers don't need food.
So that was the lie. That was too far.
That was the only point that I thought I've been had.
Okay.
So
you realize this.
Up until then.
You realize this. You ask your brothers. Now that the red flag goes off, you tell your brothers what's been going on. Your brothers say, well, you know, this is the situation. So the fog is lifting. Tracy Douglas.
Well, actually, no, I didn't ask my brothers. I asked my mother because my mother was very active in the ADF, and she, you know, up until then, she actually, was quite believing his story. He was very compassionate towards her and her well-being.
Right.
And as I said to you before, there has been noted cases of gold bullion and silver bullion being taken out of Afghanistan and sent to Australia. There was actually a show on one of our media stations not that long ago about a soldier who had obtained, I think, 6 bars of silver bullion from Afghanistan, and his house was broken into and it was stolen. Now, that was big news in Australia because it was worth a lot of money.
Right.
So, you know, we were assured that this does happen, and my brothers have actually told me that this does happen quite frequently. Illegal as it is, it does happen.
Then when you said that money, that a bullion was taken from Australia, from Afghanistan and brought to Australia, was that taken by American soldiers or by Australian soldiers?
No, an Australian soldier.
Yeah, I think it's different. I don't know about Australian soldiers, but American soldiers, I have never heard of a story like that happening. They can't do that. But anyway, we go on. So you find out what's happened. You realize what you're in the midst of. You confront your scammer, and what happens?
I just said to him, I don't believe that in a position that you're in, from what my research with US soldiers, that you're in need of any money for food for your troops. And I'm saying that because of my contacts and my enlistment with the army, mm-hmm. and also, you know, like with my family being completely ADF. But it just does not happen. They are very well looked after while they're on deployment.
And what does he say?
You've just laid out your case
to your scammer while he's full of nonsense. Why you don't believe this anymore?
Yeah,
he's not who he is. What is his reaction to you?
He said to me, "If you don't send me the remainder of the money that I need, then your house will not be fixed." And I said, "Well, that's fine because I have no more money to send you." He said, "Well, can you please sell your house and your car?" And I said, "No. I raise my children in my home and my car. I have a MXX Mazda convertible sports car, which is worth quite a bit of money." Mm-hmm. I said, "I will not sell that or my home to fund something that I do not believe in." And then that's when the blackmailing started, the death threats, and all the other garbage that went with it.
Well, that's important. We've talked about it on this show, but that's what scammers do. We've seen it on our show, and when we talk about Ann Jackson, the threats that scammers will do when the jig is up, which is again very dangerous. When you give them information about yourself, very dangerous. A lot of people like to have sexy talk on the computer and send pictures and whatnot, and it's very dangerous. I don't know if you did that or didn't do that, but it is something that one.
Yes, I did.
Okay, it's used against you.
Point of blackmail to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, and this is how you handle blackmail.
Sorry?
People.
What?
No, I'm explaining to people. This is how you handle blackmail. First of all, you shouldn't necessarily send those pictures, because they could be used against you. But if you do, this is what somebody who blackmail will use against you, and the only way to handle somebody who's blackmailing you is to say, "Do what you will with them. You don't have control over me." And that's the only way to take the power. And that's what you did, isn't it?
And that's exactly what I did.
Right.
I told him that he could take my photos and he could use them and do whatever he wants with them because I'm a woman of morals and they're already out there, mm-hmm. obviously in cyberspace. You've already got them. Not only you could be using them, but your syndicate members as well too, because he belongs to a large syndicate which obtains a lot of money. Mm-hmm. In my case alone, $1 million has been sent to this one scammer.
Jeez.
Out of the 16 victims that I've found.
Wow. And that would explain why this guy's so good at it, because he's getting the training, because this is big bucks. This isn't a case of one scammer or a couple teens working together to get some money for an iPod or iPad or something. This is a big business syndicate that, as we said on the show, may or may not be tied to organized crime or terrorism. This is big. This is big money for them. Victims of feelings have nothing to do with this. This is income. This is a job, a career.
And I've actually throughout my research, found where they actually launder their black money through. So it is obviously looking legitimate on their behalf.
Right. Well, that's
so what... I've done an enormous amount of research to get to the point where I am now, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm fighting every day of the week to try and get authorities to step in and arrest this syndicate, because I've only found 16 victims, and I know that there's probably another 30, maybe 40 out there, mm-hmm. maybe more, that have lost, you know, in excess of millions and millions of dollars to this one particular syndicate.
So I want to get back to your emotional state of mind as all this is going down. I mean, on the one side, you have to be tough with this guy as you chose to be, which is very good. But on the other side, this person who you were in love with in 5 to 6 months of a whirlwind relationship, complete with a fake engagement ring, has all come apart in a very tragic way. What are you feeling as this is all happening?
At the moment, I feel... I suppose a sense of ease that I've done as much as I possibly can.
No. I don't mean right now. I mean, take us back. Take us back to that time when you find out what has gone on, how you feel about that.
Oh, total devastation.
Okay.
Total devastation. I tried to commit suicide. I'd lost everything. My only dream, cut a long story short, when my children were born, mm-hmm. I bought them a house each so that when they were 21, I could give it to them as a good start in life, so that whatever I had as far as assets that I'd accumulated throughout my business career was mine to disperse of. Well, hope I was going to do it last year mm-hmm. when I saw fit to fund a project that has been passionate to me all my life, and that's to start an orphanage in Vietnam. So I felt my children were well taken care of, so I didn't need to worry about them. So when this happened to me, all the money that I'd saved, which was nearly everything that I had to set up this orphanage, had gone. So I felt totally violated, isolated, and my dream, my one life dream, had gone. The only way that I can fund this project now is to sell my place of residence, which I'm not really quite happy to do at this particular stage. Mm-hmm. So I was suicidal. I tried to commit suicide. I was admitted to hospital. But I must say I'm on the road to recovery. I believe that's not the answer. I need to fight.
No, you do. We're gonna get to your fight.
I can too.
We're going to get to what you're doing now. But I want to go back to this time. I know it's very difficult to do. And, you know, I and my co-hosts and our listeners appreciate you doing this, because this is important. Because, you know, we try to educate as well as make people laugh. This is not one of our funny segments right now, but it's an educational one, and it's important. So your plans for what you were going to leave to your family, your loved ones, have all been taken from you. So at this point...
No, you've misunderstood me. I bought my children a home when they were first born, so that when they turned 21, they received it. That was their inheritance from
okay.
me.
So do you, at this point, let your kids know what's going on with you?
Not particularly, not in depth, no. All they knew is that they didn't need me for financial security for their future. They didn't need, you know, a lot of people wait for their parents to die so that they can inherit money. Mm-hmm. I set that up prior to, you know, the event of either my death or my long life goals, so that they didn't need or didn't feel that they were sort of waiting for the bucks to come in when I passed away. I know that sounds cold, but
no, it doesn't.
A lot of people do.
No, it doesn't sound cold.
So my family weren't disappointed in the fact that I had chosen this path to do this for my children. Mm-hmm. They're disappointed in the fact that I cannot reach my ultimate goal by setting up my orphanage, which has been on the cards for the last 15 years.
How is their disappointment in that situation manifested itself in your relationships with them today? Has it manifested itself?
Yes, it has. Number one, because they couldn't believe that a woman that was so business-orientated, so financially secure, so astute as far as running a company, mm-hmm. and very, very savvy with her money, and made some extremely good choices in regards to my financial future. Mm-hmm. I was actually retired when I was scammed,
right.
or semi-retired, only working at TAFE part-time as a teacher. To see me fall in an absolute heap, being taken by a 22-year-old Nigerian, actually he's 25 now, at that time a 22-year-old Nigerian scammer.
Have they...
Their disbelief was...
Have they been supportive of you?
Sorry?
Have they been supportive of you as you try to go through this process?
No. No. Not at all.
That has to... You know, that's the thing. I mean...
Not at all.
In any type of... devastation that one has in their life, whether it be being a scam victim or getting very ill or losing all their money in the stock market, because all these things happen. You know, these are the times when you really need your family, your loved ones, to be that rock to help you get through it. And I find,
and my friends.
And your friends.
Yes.
And I find, unfortunately, with a lot of scam victims is people don't really know what to make of it. So they either distance themselves or ridicule them as opposed to being there for their loved one when they're needed most. Would you say that happened to you?
Yeah, and I think probably primarily if I never told them and just kept plodding along with my life, they obviously wouldn't have passed judgment. But because of my state of mind and the fact that obviously they knew that I'd tried to commit suicide because it was not, my family were notified.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know the reasons why, and I felt an obligation to tell them the truth. And that's when total disappointment and disgust set in, and not just with my children, with my siblings as well, and also with my friends. So I felt I had no support whatsoever outside of my mother, and without her, I'd don't believe I'd be here today.
So this is really more than just the devastation of losing the money. This is the devastation of the people who are your loved ones turning their back on a victim, not understanding, not being able to cope, whether they want to cope or they're unable to cope. But you become more isolated than you were. You were already on a path to isolation due to the situation with your mom and having to take care of her. But this, because of the people in your life not knowing how to deal with it, has isolated you more. Right?
Yes, I'm more isolated more than what I was when nobody knew about, you know, my involvement with my scammer or my supposed, you know, fictitious soldier. Mm-hmm. Than what I am today. I have no communication with anybody outside of my mother, and right. I've only just regained a slight communication with my children. But in saying that, the condition was with my children that I was to drop everything about scams if I don't drop everything regarding scams, including my fights and my constant fight for justice, they will discard me altogether for the rest of their life.
Let's just stop on that, and then I want to stop on that and then move on, because I want people to understand what is being asked of you. What is being asked of you to continue your relationship with your children? I have no idea if it was a good, healthy relationship before this or not. I have no idea, no insight in that. But what is being asked of you by your children, by your family, by your friends, by your loved ones is deny your recent history. Deny your human experience so that we may live our lives with you in it in blissful ignorance. Is that pretty much it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, because they're embarrassed.
So that's really them.
They're embarrassed.
That's really on them and their inability to deal with things. All right. So let's change.
Yeah, and it's not just from my children. These are from adults too. Like, I mean,
well, you have adult children. Your children are adults. Your children are adults. Your friends are adults. Your siblings are adults. The only one in this relationship, and the only one in your immediate family and friendship that I can tell besides you that is acting like an adult is your mom. Everybody else would rather act like an ostrich and stick their head in their sand. But that's their choice. We'll move on.
We'll move on.
Let's go back to your scammer. Where are we? Because you've done a lot of research. Most victims, the proactive victims, they just go to the authorities and let the authorities handle it. And unfortunately, most times, nothing much happens, unfortunately. The authorities are very lacking in their efforts and what they can do and what they're willing to do. Where are we? You have tracked down your scammer due to your research, your hours working on this. Where are we as far as bringing this Nigerian man to justice?
Okay, well, first of all, I tracked down the real soldier.
I'll get there. Right? I'll get there. We'll get to the real soldier.
Okay, all right. We'll just talk about the scammer now. I have, through my constant persistence with the authorities, because initially I was turned away time and time again, and I'm not one to be turned away. I will fight tooth and nail to the death until my story or my case has been heard. Finally, after 9 long months, the federal police in Australia have accepted my case, and it has now been accepted by the EFCC in Africa, South Africa. And
what is the EFCC? What is the EFCC for people who don't know?
Pardon?
I said, what is the
Economic Financial Crimes Commission?
And these are the people in
Economic Financial.
Go on.
Economical Financial Crimes Commission.
And these are the people in Western Africa that try to track down some of these scammers. So when you do, on the rare occasions, when you do see an arrest in Nigeria or Ghana or someplace else in Western Africa, these folks, the legitimate EFCC, not the ones, not the scammers pretending to be EFCC, but the real EFCC, they have a big hand in making that happen. They're the good guys.
Yes.
Okay.
We actually, through our Australian fraud squad, which I must say are leading the way as far as fraud's concerned with online dating scams. They have set up two organisations in Australia, one called Project Sunbird, which works out of Western Australia, and the Brisbane Fraud Squad. And they are actively involved now with the EFCC and are working in conjunction with them with any Australian cases that are presented to them. And I can honestly say that I believe that I participated in that lobbying for that to happen through my constant persistence that they act on my behalf as a taxpayer and a citizen of Australia.
So it's basically tenacity. Basically, your unwillingness to give up. So they know where this guy is. You know where he is through your efforts. You've passed this on to the authorities that are handling this. What is going on? Is this guy going to be arrested? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. It's a jurisdiction process at the moment, because at the moment he's now back in Pretoria, which is where we have a fraud squad in Pretoria, which handles all Australian cases. At one stage there, my scammer had disappeared and ended up in Ghana. And there was a jurisdiction there where Pretoria could not cross with Ghana. So they couldn't make any arrests or follow through with my investigation. Now with my research with my scammer, he's back in Pretoria. So now they are basically looking again.
Good.
So they were looking. They found him in the beginning. He did a flit. And through my research over the last couple of weeks, I found out that he's back in Pretoria. And not just through what he posts on the internet and his LinkedIn profiles and Facebook and whatever else, but I've also researched all of his family, his priest or his pastor or whatever they call him over there, all of his friends, and they all the photos that I have and communications between the whole syndicate are all out of Pretoria. And I have actually located his address in Pretoria as well, too.
It's pretty remarkable. it's pretty remarkable what you've done. On the one hand, it's very sad that this is now your life. But on the other hand, it's pretty freaking remarkable how much you've been able to accomplish, really the stuff that the authorities should be doing. But you've done it on your own. Okay.
All right. And we will stop with the interview for there. We'll do part four next week. A lot of interesting stuff. Comments, kids?
Well, it seems that very disquieting that
it's not a beat.
I know,
not fun like Cosby Rape.
It just shows you how ruthless they are. I mean, she spent all of her money on the scammers and told her that she might, you know, be able to lose her house. And the scammers told her, well, if you're out of money, sell your house and sell your car.
Well, we've kind of seen that with Ann Jackson, though.
Yes.
Where she's like, I can't eat, you know, I'm borrowing from my bosses and blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, just a little bit more to pay for these fees and you're going to get all this money back.
Yeah, it just seems that they're relentless. It also seems, like I said, with a lot of these people, you have your rational side and your emotional side, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, she was a very lonely woman. She was trying to get a break from helping her mother, and she fell in with this thing. Now, she mentioned that she was very astute at business. She had to be. She had wound up buying her kids houses.
Yeah.
She's got a beautiful new convertible. She was semi-retired and and financially comfortable.
Right.
And as a smart, astute businesswoman, on the emotional side, she was able to get swindled by the scammers. So it just shows you how much, you know, your emotional side is looking for love, is looking for acceptance, that where your rational side just sits by the wayside.
Yeah, the emotional side, the emotional need overrode her obvious good sense, financial
good sense.
Sense
that she might have. Yeah. Now, your kids go, well, how could you be so stupid? It's not a case of that. It's a case of being lonely, looking for love, looking for somebody to talk to every day to make your day. And it's a craving. It's a need. It's a human need,
you know, it's
that
like
people need to have.
You know what these scammers are like? These scammers are like a good car salesman, where when you walk into the lot, they can size you up whether they can make the sale or not.
Yes.
Right.
These scammers are doing their research. They'll friend a bunch of people, but they're probably studying your profile, see what's going on, see what you like. And they're finding the people that are the most isolated, because eventually they're going to try to isolate you further. That's kind of what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you got a lot going on, a lot of tragedy going on, and you can't think straight, and you're kind of already on your own, and there's not somebody to shake you up and go, hey, stop. That's why they go to the dating sites. A lot of times you have people, you know, with disabilities or whatnot, or widowed or anything. There's been a raw emotional experience.
Mm.
So these are prime targets. They're looking for somebody who's going to love me for me.
Yeah.
And there's Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful Scammer just feeding you, finding the person who gets me for me. They really get it and everything. Yeah, I'm helping them I'm giving them this money, but they're going to come and see me, and we're going to take care of each other. And you're right. They put back their common sense. We've talked about this since the first time we did an interview with a victim. It has nothing to do with intelligence.
No.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't. At least this young lady has come to terms with it, you know, where Ann Jackson is not.
Well, this lady, you're right. This lady realizes what's going on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've said before, I think Ann Jackson just lost it. I think she might have had it, but I think mentally she snapped. I think she's checked out. This woman has not snapped. You can tell by the way she's tracking scammers down and everything. I mean, she's putting in the hours. Now, let's be honest, she could be doing using to enjoy other things in life. Instead of that's another thing the scammer has done.
But in her defense, you were saying, well, she's using all of her available time. That available time is to get vindication.
No, it's not a judgment. It's not a judgment. I'm not making a judgment. I'm observing that even after she realizes what's going on, the scammers still have their residue, their tentacles, because these people, whether it be vindication, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Whatever the motivation is. They're immersed in this world, whether it be find out, do the research that Tracy's done, or whether they reporting profiles and these anti-scam groups. This is their life now. And I always say, every day that you're doing this type of thing, and I get the motivation, Joe, I totally do. But every day that you're invested in the scamming world that you were not before is another victory for the scammer. You know, that's why my thing is, like, you know, once you find out what's going on, what's transpired, heal and walk away from this. A lot of them can't. I mean, it's not good for our show.
And I know. But and the thing about it is that, and see, that's the problem, too. Heal. With a lot of them, healing is a lot of is getting vindication.
You're right. It's hard to – yeah, I mean, we talk – I mean, her family. When she's at her lowest, her family is like, we can't be bothered because it makes us feel stupid that this happened to you. Can you imagine?
That's heartbreaking.
That's like the most heartbreaking thing in this whole thing.
It's very heartbreaking because you feel alone in the cold. On the family side, I guess when you – and I'm kind of being a devil's advocate here. I don't know if it's right or wrong assumption, but I think when you see somebody that's been so astute at business, so smart, so savvy, so intelligent, so rational, to do that.
Right.
Maybe they feel betrayed. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but maybe they feel they're being betrayed.
I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking out of school. But it would seem to me there was something wrong with this relationship if she wasn't even telling them about him. Because they were together a couple months. And we're not talking about bringing home to a little kid.
Right.
Her kids are adults.
Right.
So the only one who's really given her any feedback is her mom and her friend.
Yeah.
She had said, I mean, these are her. This guy's part of her life.
Right.
She believes this is her boyfriend. And she's... For some reason, I guess in the back of the head, maybe she thinks they're going to judge her. I don't know.
Well, she had said earlier that she was, even though she had dated people before, and she didn't automatically always introduce her kids to these people, as you don't necessarily do.
But you know what? After a couple of months and $100,000 in, this person's kind of important.
And also, but
you know,
here's the deal. Also, she might feel that she's going to be judged. I like you to meet
which
my,
she was.
I know, yes. But it's like, what do you do? I want you to meet my boyfriend. And what are you going to do? Point at the computer? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
Well, remember, he has spoken on the phone to the mom. So theoretically, she said, no, you could talk to him. Which, you know, and remember, she has said that you couldn't tell he was African.
So let's say we're the kids, all right? And we go young again. Right. Yes. The good old days, right?
Yes. The good old days.
Reminiscing.
Would you like a leash and a diaper?
Oh, thank you, please. but let's say we grill him up. Well, who is this guy? You met him on the computer? Really? Where is he? How come he hasn't showed up? He's talked to grandma. Can he talk to us? Can he do? You're going to get grilled, and maybe there's questions that she feels maybe she won't have the answers to, or the kids will demand to have, and maybe she doesn't feel like answering those questions.
Maybe I'm getting the feeling that you're kind of going here, but maybe I'm wrong. But it's like almost like in her gut, there's a little voice saying, "You know what? Maybe I don't want to talk to anybody about this because they'll see something wrong with it and take it away from me."
And this is my happiness.
That kind of goes to what Joe says, where no matter what else is going on, the feeling of the emotional need overcomes everything.
I'll give you a perfect example about this. Okay, when I was going to be signing the record deal and going on the road.
Good times.
Okay, good times. Yes. All right. There was a lot of things there, but I felt was the right way to go.
Right.
And you were bringing up points that I was kind of dismissing. I had to find it out on my own.
Yeah.
Know? So it's one of those things where this was, you know, I'm signing a record deal.
Thank God you were out $100,000.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, well, it felt like it.
All I got was a quarter of the logo.
Yeah.
The Crimson Cat is in the chat.
Hello,
I'm sorry,
Crimson.
Jeff.
Hi. And, it's like a reunion
it
show.
It is. Oh, everybody showed up tonight.
Strawberry Crimson Cat.
Right on. Everybody's here.
She said, Davin, even when your kids are grown, you don't immediately bring them into your personal relationships.
No, but this wasn't immediate. Like I said, this is several months, and like I said,
still
listen. If you're committing $100,000 financially, this is serious. This isn't. We're taking it slow. Not to be funny, but you've already decided that this person's pretty important because you're sacrificing your own well-being.
Yeah.
You have your own tragedy going on. You're sacrificing, you know, I guess time that you could be spending with your mom because your mom needs care and everything. You're sacrificing a lot for this person, so. In Tracy's mind, she's already made the jump that this person's important.
This person's important. This person is giving me happiness. It's giving me serenity. It's giving me a safe haven to go to talk to somebody. They need my money. I will pay it because I need to keep this happiness going. I want to keep my kids out of it. They don't need to know my affairs. All they need to know is that I'm happy. And I'm just speaking for maybe a scenario.
Yeah. So do you think maybe the kids are more upset because they weren't clued in sooner? Do you think that's maybe like an excuse for them to go, you know what? You didn't tell us when this is going on. Don't come to me crying now that your world is falling apart.
I think the kids are feeling betrayed because this person that's raised them, that's been their rock, that's been probably a role model to them, that's set them up with a house, that's been, you know, her own businesswoman who's financially savvy, who, you know, who seems like a rational person, just totally blew it. Maybe the feel let down.
All right. So let's say, and I'm not going to just, let's say that's a valid point. Let's say that's what it is. Let's put the kids aside for a second. Her siblings, her brothers, shunned her too.
Yeah.
Because they might feel the same way.
You know what? I could almost buy what you said about the kids. Not that I would ever agree with it or do it. I could almost buy that as an excuse. But when it's your sister, you know, you're not relying on your sister or on your sister to support you.
But maybe in their defense, they have they can't wrap themselves around this.
Well, you know what though? Enough of this is my point. Enough of how you feel you can't wrap yourself. Your sister, your mom is suffering.
I understand that, but just. And let's, once again, being the devil's advocate, if you can't wrap yourself around something or understand it, you won't have the compassion that you really should have to that person.
Well, what's really sad, Joe, is that they could not, and I don't know which came first, their disgust or their disappointment, because those are words she used, at her for getting swindled, basically, or was there... was this reaction due to the fact that she tried to commit suicide? You know what I mean? Because people behave sometimes in ways that
I don't think they knew she tried to commit suicide.
Oh no, she had the hospital attack. Stink bug. The hospital told them that she had, and that's how they found out.
So the hospital told her whole family?
Well, somebody in the family, well, the first thing you do is get on the phone and you go, holy shit, she tried to kill herself.
So you think it's possible it's more of a reaction to the suicide attempt then?
I don't know.
I'm switching my position now.
And this is why Joe can be in politics.
Because basically if it was like I said, as a how could you do, I can't understand how you could do something. What's the matter with you? I don't understand
any of this.
Right. Yeah. I don't understand. I'm a compassionate. I don't know how she could do that. Now, let's stop. Suicide, that's a different thing. The music stops. And you go, my God, she went. You look at it at a different, my God, she must kill her. When you're in a situation where you kind of realize that, you know, how could you do it? But when you realize this person almost took their life over it, it kind of makes you realize how serious the situation was to them. You know?
Yeah.
And it kind of changes your tune about the whole situation where now you'll get that compassion.
Let me throw this in. This is not in the interview, but I said I know this woman. So let me throw this in. So she has immersed herself in her anti-scam group.
Yes.
She works tirelessly. She's not also just doing research for herself.
Yeah.
To find out who it is. But she helps these women. She's immersed herself in this anti-scam community for the past couple of years.
Right.
During that time, her family has shunned her further.
Yes.
So now, and I've been, you know, I'm friends with her. I'm not going to lie and everything. And she misses her kids. Of course. You raise them. So now, I mean, at times, the family has put her in the position of give up all your anti-scamming activities and we'll take you back, which is just a terrible place.
Yeah.
It's like, no, don't you understand how strong your mom is now, how she's helping other people? So now what I'm doing with her, and then we can discuss, what I'm doing with her is, I'm trying to help her walk away because that's my thing with all these victims. Just get out. Go back to your life because she misses her kids. And and thankfully, within the past several weeks, she's kind of reconnected with the kids and her grandkids. So her and I have talked, and she's doing a lot of media attention. We were in one of the things in Australia and everything.
Right.
So the plan is for her to finish this media tour. She's got another interview coming up with the BBC.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, a lot of exposure. Doing a lot of good, which I really think is important.
Yeah.
You know, getting it out there. And then she's going to really, hopefully, be able to curtail her activities and let somebody else.
Maybe she'll get the closure she's looking for.
I don't think she gets closure until this guy rots in hell. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think she might get back her family. But what do you think about the fact that her kids are kind of like saying, you know what, we don't even care about all the good that you're doing and how much you're helping other people and how you're educating. If you want to come back to us and be part of our family, you need to almost pretend the past 2 years never happened.
I think that it's, I mean, even though it's not maybe it is an addiction. I look at it this way.
Oh, this is addictive.
All right, so good, very good. All right, so using that as the guidepost. If she was a recovering alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
and she wound up having a drinking problem, and the drinking problem made her lose money, and lose the house and lose all her money. And then she started to get help and recover, and she was helping other alcoholics with their problem. It's, I feel it's almost the same thing as the family going, well, we don't want you helping these recovering alcoholics. We want you to just write off that you had a drinking problem and get back with the
family.
You
know what? I didn't know where you were going with there. I was going to dispute you, but then you know what? That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same. Being addicted to a substance and being hanging out with scammers.
But we did agree it was an addiction.
Yeah, I don't know
when we started this conversation right now.
For a lot of these people, I'm not going to say Tracy's is an addiction. I don't know.
I know, but just,
you know. Because remember, for a lot of these people, they're lonely. So the scammer fills a lot of their time, gives them a lot of attention. And then they use that time, now that they're done with the scammer, to focus on anti-scammer.
But I know what you're saying. It is kind of a gray line whether it's an official addiction or not, but it just seems along that guidepost and kind of along along that pathway where it's almost like, it is an addiction, and it's like I said, it's like a recovering alcoholic helping other alcoholics, and the family going, well, we want you to stop doing that. And I'm helping people. I'm helping myself. What's wrong with that?
Joe,
I made a mistake.
I agree.
I slipped. I'm trying to get back. Mm-hmm. Why can't you support me?
They have. Because, like I said, she's been doing a lot of press, and I've been trying to help her with that. They have been a little bit more supportive of late because they're seeing the amazing things that their mom is doing and how brave she is.
Yeah.
Because most victims don't give their real names, don't tell their stories or anything. But she's Tracy from the get-go has put herself out there, and she's getting a lot of attention. So she's getting a lot of support now. But again, you just go, what the hell happened for the past 2 years?
Well, she's been advocating for the other victims that were taken by this same syndicate. Bless you, Joe. And I wanted to just add to Joe's point because I was on exactly the same thought pattern as you. That is similar to, I can see that the family has a complicated reaction to this because it's almost as if she was someone who was addicted to something, and now they're misunderstanding her continued involvement in that process as continuing to be addicted to the scamming. But what really is happening is that she's helping people so much, so she has like become like a counselor instead of being an addict in the process.
And
do they not know what kind of mother they have? This is a woman who had earmarked a lot of her money that she ended up losing to this guy to set up an orphanage in Vietnam. This is a crusader. She's got a new crusade.
I'm a little biased, but this is on a lot of levels, this is a pretty special person.
Yes,
I mean even what she did with for her
incredible.
Mom.
Incredible.
Remember, this is a woman who, when she was flooded out, she was going to, she was helping other people.
She's
and leaving
helping
her
the flood victims
and leaving her house behind. I mean, this is a pretty unique person here,
right? And I think, like amazing. I said, I think this amazing person who was, who was benevolent and savvy at business and a leader and a role model.
Yeah.
She fell from grace, and I think the problem was the family had a hard time wrapping themselves around that she fell from grace.
Yes.
And felt, and it's a selfish thing, but I'm going to say it anyway, on their part, they felt they were let down and hurt by her actions.
I think so.
That's the best answer I've gotten yet on
right,
that.
Let down and hurt. Now when when she was trying to go through all this counseling, now they're like, would you just stop it? Would you just get away from this? Not realizing she's trying to help herself. Now that she's getting press and she's going around the world helping, the family is starting to see that mother, that role model, that benevolent person coming back again, and I think that's they're seeing what an incredible person she is again.
The amazing thing is that benevolence never left. That's the thing.
Right.
And that's what I've talked to her. I go, here's the thing: you're a better person now.
Yeah.
Than you were before. I mean, this sucks. What happened to you? You've lost it all. You lost your dreams. Yeah. Not going to be able to do that orphanage if you are. It's going to take a lot longer. You're working now. I know what she's doing. She was semi-retired. I know what she's doing now.
Slipped.
It's not glamorous what she's doing now.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I tell her, and the reason I want her to leave this is, she's very helpful. She helps a lot of people. She's one of the good ones in there. I don't always agree with her on everything, but I know she does a lot of good work.
Yeah.
And I know she will be missed.
Yes.
But I also know that she needs to move on and go back to her kids because she missed her family.
I think that she has to make the personal decision. Sometimes you, in a life, when you're emotionally attached, believe me, I know you, when you're emotionally attached to somebody, there is a moment of clarity where you look and go, my work here is done.
Yeah.
And
just
to
pass the baton.
I think with a lot of these people, they don't get the proper counseling and healing.
Yeah.
And some of them don't want to realize it. I mean, trust me. My goal when I talk to these victims is, we're going to address the situation. You're going to get counseling. You're going to heal. It's okay. You're not a bad person.
Right.
We're going to teach you how this will not happen again, because I've told you. You know, you get fooled once, I'm right there in your corner. You keep on getting fooled. Hey, scammers got to eat, too. That makes the world go round.
Yeah.
But, you know, we educate you. We try to build you back up, and then you leave. Don't. And if, you know, at some point you are fully healed and you want to come back, that's cool.
Yeah.
Love to have you. But you need that distance between the scam, the recovery, and the helping. And there's just not a lot of that.
Well, we discussed that before, where you're still in an emotionally viable spot. You need to step away and get the rational part of your life back. You need to heal emotionally and get your rational side back. When your rational side and your emotional side are both in check, if you decide to step back in, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And tread lightly. And if you feel like you're slipping again, then step back out of it again. But
yeah,
you need to step away.
People have to take it on a person by person basis. If like, you know, so if somebody Ann Jackson, who's unhanged,
there's nothing
she
I can
should
do
get
for
away.
Ann.
She should get out.
There's nothing
out,
I can
out,
do for
out.
Ann. I can't help
right.
a person
won't
like
get
Ann
out because she's got a broken record. I say it every show. She's got to come to terms that these people. She's at the conclusion that they're incompetent,
right?
But she has to come to the conclusion that they're not real,
right?
And she has not. She almost made it,
yeah.
But she has not, and so far will not come to that conclusion that these people are not real.
Well, yeah, she's an example of one of the unhinged ones, and I'm. Right. But Tracy seems to have. I mean, I don't want to speak to her emotional fallout because I have no idea. But she has turned it around, and she's become an advocate for the other victims. But she needs to decide, or maybe her family has to come around and understand that she's not in the addiction. She's turned it around and made it a good thing.
Her group is the military scammers, the Fight Back. I said it before. I'm one of the admins over there, so I know the situation. Here's the thing. I think Tracy is ready to walk away and get more time now more than she was several months ago.
Yeah.
But I also see what goes on in this group, and I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people that become leaders in this community. They know, and like I know, like if I were to walk away from the show, no disrespect, shit's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, she has that, she feels that responsibility where every time she starts to pull away and give her time, herself some time to do other things, to enjoy life, to enjoy her grandson, to do other things, she comes back and it's not intentional, but there's only one person that creates it and makes it run the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
So if I walked away from this show, you and Joe would have the best intentions. But chances are, at least for a while, shit would go wrong.
Yeah.
And if I'm there, I see, oh, Jesus Christ. All right, here I am. Yeah. Let me roll up my sleeves, get it back. So I think a lot of that's going on with Tracy, just what I'm observing.
But eventually what you have to do, if you're in a position where you want to let it go, you will go, oh, Jesus Christ. But then eventually we would find our way.
Well, we took a big step today.
Right.
Because Crimson Cat, who is now an admin over there, is merging her group with Tracy's group, and Crimson Cat has never been scammed. Me and Crimson Cat share the same opinion that the best people at this,
yes,
the ones who could be the most objective and clear-headed, were never scammed.
Right.
So I feel like the addition of Crimson Cat as an admin over there is going to give Tracy the space to heal, and they know I got their back anyway, and is going to give Tracy the space to heal and enjoy her family and rediscover her life, her vibrance and everything. And then if at some point she can come back.
Well, it's like you said, you have to come to the determination, my work here is done for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard to do, and I think she's at that point. I mean, we've talked, and really the press is hopefully going to be the end.
Well, like I said, if you feel that it's in good hands, you know, you get to a point where you want to know something. I want to spend more time with my grandkids.
Well, like I said,
my children. I want to reconnect with my children. So then you know, she seems like a rational person in that sense, that she'll see where her priorities have been reorganized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's no disrespect to the admins that she has.
No.
But I told them, I was talking to Crimson Cat last night. I go, you know, it's a shame you're not around much anymore. And she's like, why? I'm like, you know, it's just not the same. They could really use your guidance. Not to kiss Crimson's cat's ass, because she listens once every 6 months. So really, who gives a fuck, Crimson Cat?
Right.
Really? Really?
She was feeling too good about herself. I can't have that, Joe. Nobody feels good
at
this show.
We'll see another 6 months, because stupid opens his mouth.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Scoot over. Now everybody's in the barrel.
Listen, I get them here, I'll fucking kick them out. No.
Ratings will soar. Okay.
Exactly. And one at a time. Anyway, no, but what I'm saying is Crimson Cat, I think, is going to have a handle on things so that the other admins can go, instead of going to Tracy all the time,
yeah,
they can go to Crimson Cat, who's not always around, too. Crimson Cat's got a life. She's got other things to do,
sure,
too. But, I mean, Crimson Cat is exceptional.
She says, bite me, Davin.
Yeah, good girl.
She doesn't live too far away. Where would you like it?
He's taking requests.
Could you imagine our radio promotion? Where would you like Stupid to bite you?
There's a line out the door. Everybody wants bites.
I don't want to bite you in the rear. You shit your pants, Joe.
Tetanus shot. Yeah, right.
But no, I think, and we're going to do part four of Tracy's interview next week, which is the final part, which we'll talk a little bit more about what she's doing now.
I demand a hand massage after that. Cross captioning.
The fish thanks loud.
Especially when Pip has a joke.
Christ.
God, we're being very liberal with the word joke. Cosby's comment about his rape situation was funnier than that.
What?
Yeah.
Nobody got harmed.
At least with Cosby's rape, one person had a good time.
Oh, wow.
Well, clearly he did. He's a repeat customer.
Yeah, really.
All right, let's do some Sickly Sue and Mickey Wynn, shall we, kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Always and forever.
All right. Where we last left off with, now, of course, Sickly Sue is our scam baiter who is scam baiting Mickey Wynn, esteemed brother of Mavis Mills, ex-girlfriend of Dick Eldorado, pal of fake Davin.
Oh, my God. I need a pill.
It's yeah, you do. It's 7 degrees of stupid.
That's great. 7 degrees of stupid.
You will see that. You'll see the clip list. 7 degrees of stupid.
So,
Two years we're gonna go. Huh.
when we last left it, Mickey Wynn had a 2-pronged attack. One, he was looking for love.
Yep.
From grandma.
Yep.
Because he's a kid and Sickly Sue is a grandma.
Yeah.
Looking for love and, looking for something as important as love. Little money.
Yep.
Hey, how about a new phone, mama? How about a new phone? Unfortunately, all his best efforts, just an honest guy. You know, like Joe says, you know, these kids don't work today. Mickey's trying, Joe. Mickey's trying.
He's hustling.
he's hustling, Joe. What say you?
Not hustling in the right way.
And he's trying to learn the English language.
But for evil.
Yes.
It's all subjective. It's all subjective.
No. Now he's quantifying. All right, learn English, but only for good.
He's trying to build his economy. Right. But unfortunately, every time he puts the sweet, sweet moves on Sickly Sue, she has another ailment. She is like a leaky, gross, pussy, disgusting, infected woman.
Enough with your sexy talk.
Right, I couldn't help myself, Joe.
Have Bucket Will anti-scam.
So it's like, you know what? We haven't really even done anything. If this is my gal, and she's always saying, screw this. You know what? Let me bathe you in iodine and move on.
Yeah, really. Bathe you in iodine. What?
Just the way I see things.
It's true.
All right. So we'll go to June 27th, 2013. Sickly Sue says, good afternoon. I'm not good because my dad is really sick.
Oh, so she passed on the illness.
I remember her dad was really sick at the time.
Oh, so she's using that. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, in lieu of all the other ailments, you know, really, what, you got Ebola over there?
I'm thinking.
So Mickey's like, sorry about that. Wish her quick recovering.
Hey.
Sue goes, you mean wish him, capitalized, a quick recovery, LOL.
Stupid.
He got serious kidney probs. It's like, really? Why don't you focus on who you're trying to scam?
Yeah,
really.
He goes, sorry, dear. I will pray for him. She goes, thanks. He's really sick.
Trick or Tops is great. Now he has the HIV.
Oh, Tom and your stereotypes. There's no proof that he slept with the monkey that started the virus.
No.
No proof he didn't, though.
No proof he... That's right. Allegedly.
Can you imagine if Cosby has to go to Ghana and he starts drugging the people over there because he can't play in the North America anymore?
Great.
You see,
I'm coming over here to do you scammers, you see. And like working the hut, you see. Where are you going now? You getting a drink? I'd watch it when the cars come out there.
Kind of a cross between Foghorn Leghorn and Archie Bunker, but we'll call it Cosby.
That was pretty Cosby to me.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't whip his junk out, and I'm still awake. I don't know how Cosby it was.
You can't see under that table.
That's right.
You know, it does really give a whole new meaning to what a Cosby impression is going to be. Here, you want to see a good Cosby impression? Drink this, stupid. In 5 minutes, you're going to see how good my impression is.
Yeah. You should do that on stage. Want to see my Cosby impression? Then take a drink and pour it.
That's actually pretty funny.
Oh.
And offensive, right up my alley.
Yeah.
And now I'm a prop act. You know what? I should do that. I should do that. You just get like a sugar packet, but don't let
You're just a little shit to pull it off.
Here's my impression. I am. All right, let's map this out. Stop crapping all over the bit. Let's map this out. No, stop the show. I'm working. Here's the you guys want to see a Cosby impression? So I have a glass of water. I have a sweet and low something to pack open, but I don't let them see it. I pour, so they see powder going in the drink. I go, drink this. That's an applause break. That is a great joke.
See your pal setting you up with jokes?
Yeah, thanks,
Joe. Yeah. Look at this. He's your
Of course, if they throw rocks at me like Joe leaving a show, he'll go, I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Joe wrote that.
Until I get stoned and drum out of the business. I had no idea. But that's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, Kaz, you give so much. Anyway, back to Mickey. How are you? How are you doing, honey? Hope your father's getting okay. This is July 2nd. She goes, my dad had a stroke, then a heart attack, so he's in the hospital.
Oh, my God. Did that really happen, or is she just saying that?
I don't remember that being that bad.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it wasn't.
Okay.
Either way, though, if you're Mickey Wynn, Jesus Christ, you're finally feeling better, and now we're in a death vigil for death. Will you send me the money, stupid?
I know. It's like, when am I allowed to beg for money?
I like that equation. Heart attack plus stroke equals hospital.
Yeah.
It really was like core curriculum math for scammers. Yeah.
I always like that when people go, he was rushed to the hospital. If you go into the hospital, usually you don't saunter. You know, stop or pick up. Usually you're rushed to the hospital.
You don't see those pushy heart attack victims.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm quoting Joe's act. Nah, I figured I'd throw my hand in the wood chipper and come on over.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot that.
Joe's old jokes. Resurrected and made new again. Yeah.
Just brush that right off.
Yeah. Always liked it. Always on point. Yeah. It is on point. But anyway, enough about you.
It's my show.
But right now it's Mickey's show.
Right.
Appreciate. He goes, sorry, dear. She goes, thanks. July 10th. We've gone from...
Wait, 3 days?
No, 8 days.
Eight days
yes,
later?
July 2nd to July 10th.
Jesus.
He goes, hey, babe. She goes, hey, hon, are you okay? He goes, I thought you might be busy with your dad. My time is up at the cafe. Let's talk tomorrow. See ya. She's like, my dad left the hospital at the weekend. Okay, hon. And here's a scammer. He's like, really? You know what? It's time to go. I've already scammed people that aren't on their deathbeds. I don't need this shit today. It's been a rough day. Nobody sent the money. I'm not putting in extra tokens in the machine.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
I don't want to hear about your deathbed confessions.
Yeah, if I want all this shit, I'll try to scam WebMD.
He continues, okay, see ya tomorrow. See ya. Like he's Michael K. See ya.
And this woman's got more ailments than a mahjong table in Boca.
Yeah. Wow. There's no way that came off the top of your head.
That's great.
A mahjong table
in Boca.
I think he's making fun of Jews again. Anyway, Sue goes, take care, hun. He goes, take care. Love you. And she must have put a smile or something. July 13th. He goes, hey, babes. She goes, hey, hun, how are you? He goes, I'm fine. And you? She goes, I'm okay, but it's so hot here right now. It's getting hot in here. Time to take off all your clothes. He goes, babe. He goes, babe, how is your dad doing? She goes, he had more breathing problems, so had to go back in hospital. But he's home right now. He's okay, but the kidney dialysis is making him feel very sick. Son of a bitch, woman. Can we talk one day? Why must you make this difficult?
Now it's the kidneys.
I asked you for $50 for a phone, and we can't get to the point. What's the matter, Pip? You have a concerned look on your face.
Oh, no. I'm talking to Trucker Tom, but he's just said he would laugh if that didn't actually happen to his former roommate last summer.
Well, we didn't pick up the latest edition of Tom Today. How are we going to know?
No, didn't know. But it's
was
like
Tom's
talking.
Was this poor person talking to Mickey too? Because if so, Mickey's just having a rough go of it. I can't find anybody.
Mickey's like the Black Widow.
Of course, we feel bad. Yeah. But, you know, we don't interview everybody who listens to the show, though we could.
Yeah. We try.
We try. If only there was more Tom. Joe, I have new projects for you. I'll be biting everybody. You'll be interviewing everybody.
What do I get to do?
You look at the stink bugs, stupid. It's what you do best.
Okay.
Let's see. Please take good care of him and yourself too. Seriously, woman, can you just get past these ailments?
Yeah, can I just have one conversation with you that doesn't mention an ailment?
Not for nothing. My sister Mavis and Belinda have friends. This is a bunch of bullshit. I try to enter into the scamming business. I think, you know what? Maybe they're not so good at it.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't. Maybe the people they were talking to weren't the problem. Maybe they're just not good. Maybe not everybody's an asshole. I'm gonna work somebody.
I'll show these girls how it works.
I'll show these dames how a real scammer works.
Yeah.
And then he runs into Sickly Sue.
Yeah, and he's like, oh,
why
my
hasn't
God.
He said the hell with it already?
Why the hell didn't Mavis or Belinda say the hell with it?
Yeah.
Because you know what, Joe? These Ghanaians have that American stick-to-itiveness.
God bless them.
Yeah, this is the work ethic that you wish our young people had, Joe.
I wish they did. Joe is on this tenaciousness.
Joe is unfurling an American flag, a little baby one as we speak.
Joe has great respect
the other hand.
for these Ghanaian scammers. Joe endorses them. Mm.
If I only don't endorse we them, I endorse their work ethic.
If only we knew their international anthem,
and
we could all sing
to speak
it together.
English. Look at these, Joe.
That good old stick-to-itiveness.
Ah, yes. That's so absurd. She goes, yes, hon, and he's happy, but not good now. I'm fine, but worried about my dad. Well, thank God she's good. He goes, I know you're worried, and there's nothing wrong with it. She goes, can you give me 5 minutes, babe? Because my friend just posted that her daughter has gone missing.
Now a new tactic.
Listen, lady, you're finally feeling better, and now we got to play Magnum PI. Hey, John Walsh, we got to find some. Are you shitting me?
Hey,
Amber Alert.
Let me ask you a question. I was doing the replays, when I was doing the whole Dr. Wawing Chow thing with Dick Eldorado and stuff like
that.
See,
looking back to the good old days.
Yes, the good old days. You started barking. Oh, you got to calm down. You're taking a little bit too far. Blah blah blah. You're gonna blow the whole thing. You think she's doing it right? You think she's doing that? I mean, she's getting a little far-fetched with everybody being sick and kidnapped. It's like one hell of
part
a
of me thinks that, part of me vaguely recalls this actually going on to a degree. Yeah. But part of me goes, you might have a point, Joe. I mean, let's get a little love. You know, at one point we were talking about hot, lit skin and seeing each other. And now it's just nothing but strokes and heart attacks
and
pus.
People's missing. And,
it's like, enough. We get it. Life sucks. But what about me?
What about
me?
Oh, okay.
Mickey.
Yeah,
Mickey.
Yeah, okay.
Fine, what about Mickey?
Okay, I got confused.
No, I was like putting myself in
Mickey.
This
Mickey.
It's an interesting point, Joe. Maybe it is too much.
You know, I mean, so far he's keeping coming
but
back.
But he's still here.
Like, yeah, but they go like a week without talking as far as we know. So he's not invested the way I got Belinda invested, mm-hmm. spending hours a day. So maybe she has to up her game. Interesting. So she goes, can you give me 5 minutes? Babe, because my friend just posted that her daughter has gone missing. He goes, oops, sorry. Which is what you say. You always go, oops.
Oops.
Oops, sorry. Really?
What are you going to say, though? You're a kid. I mean, what? I mean, this kid's defense.
Oh, my God, that's awful. Can I write you a little bit?
Yeah.
That's what you write.
He said sorry.
But you know, you
oops,
go, oops,
dropped
sorry.
A kid, sorry.
Oops, sorry. That's when you drop something on the floor, and that's when somebody's
yeah,
missing.
Yeah, he probably dropped his, like, burrito or whatever. He's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you got to ham it up. I mean, oh, my God, that's sorry.
You know what,
back.
Do you? Do you?
Yes.
Maybe you don't.
Yes, you
maybe
do.
Maybe he's getting to the point, you know what, I'm not investing. I can't even pretend to give a shit anymore.
Well, because and it goes back to my, no, and but it goes back to my thing, what I was saying. Maybe stuff's gotten so silly, maybe he's like the hell with it.
Your illnesses are amusing.
Yeah.
He's just like, and who did you bring your father to? Dr. Wawing Chow!
Right. It's like, what's next now? That he grew a tail?
There's a little nub on the base of my arse.
I grew a tail. I wagged it. It got caught in the door. I got to go to the ER. I'll be back.
Look at Joe writing for the next time he gets a crack.
Yeah.
Are there leeches involved in this ailment? Are there leeches? Right. This is starting to ring a bell.
So Sue goes, I just want to answer her message. Mickey goes, okay. Sue goes, okay, I'm done. My friend in the USA says her 16-year-old daughter was last seen 19 hours ago. He goes, oh, that's really awful. Hope they find her soon. All right, it's nice.
All right, yeah, all right.
Okay,
all right.
That's better.
Jump down this poor scammer's.
Well, we didn't get there yet. I mean,
did you just say Trump jumped down this poor scammer's throat?
It just showed no sympathy.
I didn't hear the rest of what he said.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Well, Mickey always... What
am I feeling sorry for him for?
Crazy as a human being.
Stupid quarter to ten at night. All right.
She goes, me too. And she was last seen getting into a car with a 17-year-old boy. Oh, and have they looked for the boy? Mickey, you know, covering all the bases. CSI Ghana. Good start there, scamp.
Yeah. Thanks, Columbo.
Thanks. We didn't think of that ourselves.
So you go back to the old references from the good times.
You know, did you try to find out if he went out? You know, my wife.
And one more thing.
Yeah, my wife's a scammer, too. You know, she was saying that maybe got in the car.
Okay. I like the fact that he has to take off the glasses for the impression.
Because that's what Columbo would always do.
She goes, yes, friends of the boys have tried calling him, but he won't answer his phone. He goes, oh, dear, it is really strange. She goes, yes, everyone is looking for them now and calling them both. He goes, okay, dear, how have you been? Enough of that shit.
Yeah, let me try to get around to my original possibility. Trucker Tom says, okay, now she's going from Sickly Sue to Abduction Annie.
No, she'll always be Sickly Sue, Tom. But, you know, she...
Her friend is...
I don't know. One more person bites the dust, she might have to be Abduction Annie.
She goes, so what have you been doing, babe? He goes, nothing much. She goes, so who stood you up last night? He goes, my friend, we had plans to chill out. So she goes, why didn't your friend show up? He said he had plans with his girlfriend. So Sue's like, well, he should have told you. I hate these scammers that aren't reliable.
I was busy abducting a 16-year-old girl, and I lost track of time.
That's creepy. So he goes, yep, but I have forgiven me.
Good for me.
Oh, good. Now you can live with yourself.
Exactly.
I know.
And there's Sickly Sue getting on her condescending high horse, goes, you mean you've forgiven him, babe?
Oh, she loves to be the grammar Nazi.
So she certainly... Now, where's Joe when we need him to wag his finger at Sickly Sue? Go, no, no. Get off that high horse, you sickly. You'll fall off and break something.
I guarantee she would.
I'm sure she would.
If Billy Bro snapped my ankle, I fell off the condescending high horse. I should have petted and make friends with it.
She'd be like, oh, babe, I broke my leg. They're going to shoot me. Yeah. So he goes, I have forgiven him. And she goes, no wonder you weren't pleased last night, LOL. Sue goes, I like your haircut. He goes, yep. Mickey goes, yep, I'm so furious. Thanks, honey. She goes, he should have called you to say he was seeing his girlfriend. Yeah. What are you up to this weekend? Nothing much. It's too hot. She's saying nothing much. It's too hot here to do much as I'm staying inside, keeping cool.
Good. Maybe you won't break something.
Or puke on anybody.
Why don't you put yourself on ice, stupid. Yeah. Ever see Empire Strikes Back? I recommend Carbonite. Anyway, good times. Mickey goes, and this is an important question, have you been able to work? Let's get back to basics.
Oh, yes.
She goes, yeah, I've been working, hon.
How's my little cash cow doing? Yeah. Are you mooing? Are you out in the fields?
He goes, oh, okay. Have you eaten? She goes, yes, I ate chicken burgers in rolls.
That's a great song. You can see right menus. What's the good? Chicken burgers in rolls.
What Sue's eating. Surprise it's not broth with AIDS cap, but you know, whatever. Yeah. We'll take what we can get.
It was the worst way to put it.
I don't know. What are you going to do?
Whatever.
Mickey's like, oh, that's good, but please eat healthy foods. She goes, I have to eat high-calorie foods. If not, I lose weight. He goes, okay. She goes, what did you eat? He goes, nothing. Spelled N-U-F-I-N. I think it's like Nutella. I'm not sure. I'm going to put some Nutella on my nothing.
New nothing.
Hey, what are you putting on your nothing?
Half the calories, none of the taste, because it's invisible.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
Ask for it by name. My name's Mickey Wynn, and I endorse nothing.
Less filling.
Food of Ethiopia.
What will how much will Sickly Sue be sending? Nothing.
Nothing.
She goes, why not? He goes, okay, I'll eat later. She goes, okay, but it's bad for you to eat, LOL. He goes, yep. She goes, "That's why we eat out. That's why we eat out dinner here early in the evening." He goes, "Okay." She goes, "I have to go, babe, because my eldest son is here." He goes, "Okay, see ya." He goes, "Okay," and we'll stop there.
They are having the most mundane conversations.
Oh, it's ponderous. Thank
it
God.
Is.
Thank God we're here.
You think he comes back for more to see what you'll have next week?
I certainly hope so. We have a show to do.
Yeah.
So what did you have for lunch today, hon?
Yeah.
Babe,
well, that's what they
hon.
Do. We found that, remember with Flory and everything, and certain people playing the part of Agnes and Belinda?
Yeah.
There wasn't much to talk about.
No, really. Yeah.
I mean, the ones who knew backstory, you know, can really get into it. But it's interesting. It's a good point. They have had really nothing tangible to talk about, except for her illnesses, and that really didn't go too deep.
No.
But they're so in love with each other. It's like, doesn't stop.
So what'd you do? Nothing. Good to chill with my friend. Oh, you didn't show up. Oh, are you mad? No. So you gonna have a Mountain Dew? Yeah, maybe. So what are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. What? Oh my God!
Oh, and that'll be some of the conversations. Believe me, when I'm editing, I'm like, oh boy, I'll never get out of here.
No, well, you can't take every clip, Joe. I mean, you can't take every 3 minutes of the show.
No, I know. What I'm saying is, like, I'm saying when you're looking and you're like, all right, there's gold here, right? Now I gotta get another 3 minutes to fill. What did you do? Nothing. A lovely day. Yes, I get. No, I'm like, shit.
Well, let's be honest. This is not exactly, as you guys point out, the most riveting conversation.
No.
We are trying to polish a turd.
Well, but the thing is, but the point of it is that this is how, you know, the scammers operate. When these people are thinking, oh, every second they're going for the money. Nope. They're not.
Oh, no. From a learning aspect,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
For making my job easier to entertain the folks.
No,
not so much.
No. Although.
I got to call Sickly Sue on the carpet.
As Lisa pointed out, Sick and Kidnapped. Great book title.
Can you imagine that? You kidnap somebody, like take it, and then they are just puffing and sneezing. Oh, well, you had to come back to the lair, the kidnap lair. What, you had to bring back Ebola girl?
You just sitting there writing a ransom note. Can I have another tissue? Oh, for Christ. It's in the box over by. I untied you. I'm trying to finish this damn note, all right?
Do we have any more?
I got him on the phone. Call up. Yeah.
Do we have any clean gauze?
Oh, fuck. All right.
This is why sometimes you have to kill a hostage.
Yeah. I just can't take you anymore.
DayQuil only works for me. Oh, God. All right. I'll be right back. Hide.
Could you make some broth? My throat is scratchy.
Broth. Oh, God almighty. Here's a spoon. I got to spoon feed you when you're tied up.
Can I have... Before you put the gun to my head and we make the video, can I have another blanket? I'm very chilly.
Oh, no. Tuck it around my toes.
Yeah,
tuck it around.
This sack I'm going to put around you'll keep you warm. Plus, the drunk is nice.
You know, you're writing that rant and go, nobody's paying this shit for her.
No.
Nobody's paying $5 million. They're probably celebrating. We kidnapped the wrong one. We spend a year and a half. We go to Syria. What a shithole that was. Yeah. We learn how to do it. We get fake passports. We sneak into Europe where we don't want to be anymore because we don't like the way they live. We finally grab somebody and you bring home Pussy Patty. Are you kidding me?
You're going to be on the phone with Phil. I want 200. It's going to be 200,000 in small bills. What? From me? No, from you. No, I'm not. All right, look, can we negotiate? I got to get the hell out of here. All right, what? Look, what can I? Where do you want me to drop the money? All right.
What can I give you to take this back?
She's infecting everybody. We can't even climb on the monkey bars like we like to for the videos now.
Yeah, right.
This duct tape is scratchy.
You just see him flashing.
Shut up.
Flashing outside. God, I hope a drone finds us. Yeah.
I gotta go to the toilet again. Can you let me out?
You were just in the toilet. What's
no.
it? I got to untie you again?
No, it's number
Drop
one.
Drop your pants
son.
Like Joe Curry.
Yeah. Pretend you're in the curtain department at Gertz and shit yourself.
Take off that leash. You didn't earn it.
Thanks. No, that did the trick.
Gertz.
Gertz.
No.
You used to be on Gertz. My Aunt Judy used to work there. Gertz.
Sounds powerful, Joe.
Yes.
So basically what we're saying is you got to, kids, do a little research before you kidnap somebody.
Right.
Yeah, really.
That's what I'm saying. You want to kidnap somebody when they're leaving the gym and they got a good sweat on. Mm.
You want to make sure that they're definitely not contagious.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Stinkbug's back.
Hi, Stinkbug.
Hi, Stinkbug.
I suppose we should wrap this show up.
Yeah. Truck or Tom just said, we've kidnapped Typhoid Mary. We want click. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello?
Hello. What was that number again? It's 4444. Oh, I'm not taking a
We're sorry. The number you called.
Son of a bitch!
And we're stuck with it.
All right, track down their email address. Oh, it's Gmail. I don't know where the hell they are. Oh, frustrations of kidnappers and scammers.
Oh, God.
See, everybody deserves a break. Well, we polished that turd nicely. Let's move on and thank some folks. Turd polishing? Sorry?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's thank Family Martial Arts. Family Martial Arts is great for learning karate and self-defense. Perfect to do together as a family or by yourself. Whether you want to learn in a class environment or you want private lessons, Family Martial Arts is the dojo for you. Give them a call to learn more at 845-469-1716, 845-469-1716, or check them out at FamilyMartialArtsGoshen.com, FamilyMartialArtsGoshen.com, and also they have adult exercise classes now. Get in shape, so it's pretty cool stuff. They got a class on Wednesday and a class on Sunday afternoon, so good stuff going on at Family Martial Arts in Goshen.
If you're in the mood for great Italian food, then you need to go to Francesca's in Woodland Park, New Jersey. Chef owner Frank Giancarelli cooks authentic Italian cuisine made with the finest ingredients and panache that will make Francesca's your place to go with friends and family. The restaurant has a Mediterranean decor done in a non-pretentious way. It feels cozy and intimate, yet it's still elegant. Francesca's even has a private party room where you can host family get-togethers and corporate functions. Francesca's features off-site catering as well. Stop by Francesca's for lunch or dinner at 568 McBride Avenue in Woodland Park, New Jersey, or give them a call at 973-925-1100. You can even go to their website at francescas-restaurant.com. Don't forget to ask them about their next comedy show.
Goldberg's Famous Bagels, a kosher-style deli of Chester, New York, brings the fresh, delicious water bagel of New York City to Orange County, New York. Every morning, a wide variety of bagels are made fresh on premises for your enjoyment. If you've ever had a Goldberg's bagel, then you know you can never, ever have a frozen bagel again.
That's right.
Exactly. We stand by it. That's one thing we all agree on. Goldberg's has the perfect schmear for your bagel, as they feature an extensive variety of cream cheese spreads and even offer low-fat choices. Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher-Style Deli also offers premium meats for their mouth-watering sandwiches. They offer some unique daily specials like the Zombie, which is a potato pancake covered in fresh brisket and smothered in homemade gravy, or the Bronx Bomber, which is a square knish, corned beef, Russian dressing, and sauerkraut. Whether you want breakfast, lunch, or dinner, Goldberg's can feed your craving. Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli is great for when you want to eat out, order in, or have that special event or party catered. Goldberg's delivers every time. They're open at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. on the weekends. Visit them at 69 Brookside Avenue in Chester, New York, or give them a call at 845-469-8505. And, of course, if you're a veteran or a fan of our show, you get 10% off. Size Printing Productions, you need a comedian, murder mystery, hypnotist. Character. Easter's coming up. You might need a bunny. Give us a call. Kids parties. Sidesplittingproductions.com. Sidesplittingproductions.com. 551-404-3094. 551-404-3094. Pip? Mr. Helix anywhere?
No.
Joe?
I will be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club tomorrow on Arnold Avenue in Point Pleasant. Also, I will be at Governor's on Thursday. Go to govs.com for information. Also, I'll be back at Uncle Vinny's on Saturday and Sunday. Uncle Vinny's 1-877-UNCLE-VIN. Come on out.
This Friday, Side Splitting Productions presents live comedy at Casa Bianca in Oak Ridge, New Jersey, starring Uncle Floyd. Floyd was there last week, and we had over 200 people, just packed house.
Wow.
And we're expecting something close. But there's still a few tickets available. So if you ever want to see Uncle Floyd, just have a great night of entertainment with great food, you want to go to Casa Bianca. Number is 973-697-9704, 973-697-9704. And if you want to see me try out my new Cosby joke, I'm totally doing that. Just have to remember to bring a little sugar. Look at me, stealing sweet low packets like I'm 90. That's what I'll be doing. That's what this week's going
to
be.
That's what we can all look forward to.
Yeah, sure. So this Saturday I'll be in Scranton, PA. We got fans in Scranton, PA. Hopefully come out at the St. Anthony Center. So come on out and hang out with me. Well, kids, it's been a fun show.
Yeah.
A technically plagued show.
What else is new?
Exactly. Some serious talk. I think it was a good time, though, tonight. What say you?
It was a great show. I had a great time.
Thank you guys for hanging out and putting it up with the stink bugs and the technical issues. And I hope you've learned how to properly kidnap somebody. if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, keep on listening. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.